Welcome to the Canna Cook Podcast. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and we're taking a break from our usual focus on family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new here, welcome. You've picked a great time to jump in. This content is great for any age. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
Well, happy new year to all of our listeners and our Canna Cook family out there. Joe, I cannot believe it. It is 2025.
Wow.
It's going to be an amazing year. As you know, we're going to be celebrating 100 years of this ministry coming up, which we're super excited about. But today we're excited to get back to the podcast. And Joe, it sounds like you've got a pretty amazing guest with us on the show today. Why don't you introduce our guest?
Well, I do, Beth Ann. And by the way, I did not think I would live to 2025. I can't believe I'm still alive. But it is 2025. Somehow my heart's still beating a little bit. It beats weird, but it beats at least.
I love it.
But I look forward to an incredible summer this summer out at K2 mostly, working with our high school kids like I've been for the last 50 years. But Beth Ann, today, oh my goodness, I am so excited today because on the podcast, you're in for such a treat today. We have one of my best friends who's never been on the podcast. His name is Calvin Miller. All of his buddies have always called him Gilla. And Beth Ann, if you were a football player and you saw Calvin line up across from you, you would know why they call him Gilla. The only thing bigger than Calvin Miller on a football field is his heart.
Oh, my goodness.
Because he is a mountain of a man, but his heart is literally bigger than he is. So it was in 1971, 50-some-odd years ago, that I was in Iba Hall at Oklahoma State University.
Yes.
This very handsome, very large man sat down in front of me for an interview, and it became a watershed for Canna Cook. If you can believe it, for all you people that are old out there, you know, but y'all young people, you don't know. But America was backwards, and integration, which is embarrassing to even talk about, but it was not right, Beth Ann. But I grew up with Black people. You know, I grew up playing football, and I roomed with an African-American brother. And, you know, so my life was colorblind. But the camps in America were not. You know, the camping was white. But as soon as I started professionally for Canna Cook, you know, I wanted to get things right. You know, camp needed to be all colors, because all colors were brothers and sisters, as you know so well. We're all from one body, one blood, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so Calvin Miller, somehow, Calvin, the Lord spoke to your heart to come to Canna Cook. What was that like for you, Gilla?
Well, I was very excited because when they showed me the booklet, showed me the film of Canna Cook. I think they had film back then. But anyway, it was exciting, something I wanted to be a part of. I was a recreation major. I worked with young people's. You know, and I just wanted to venture out. I was excited about getting the offer. There was another gentleman along with me. We was kind of tag teaming, and he said, "Yeah, man, let's go." And
that was GOAT.
So
that was GOAT, right?
So his name was GOAT.
Yeah.
So when it came down to time to go, I said, well, "GOAT, you going?" "I'm not going, man." I'm not going. Man, you didn't see none of our people up there, man. Why you want to go? And I said, "GOAT." I said, I gave my word to Joe and I to the staff. And I said, I am going. And he said, "Well, go ahead. You're going by yourself." And so I came, and it was the longest drive in my life, the longest walk in my life when I walked up on Camp Canna Cook, and then all the councils and there. I think we'll work week down on at the bottom of Lake Canna Cook there, right there by Lake Tanacomo. And I made that walk down, and it was the longest walk of my life. And my heart was just beat, doop, 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 doop. What in the world are you doing here? And so when I walked down the hill, you know, the counselors and all those, you know, the directors, they seen me, and they ran over to me and just embraced me. And the rest was history. And so a warm welcome. All doubts were gone, and all fear, you know, fear was released. And it was something beautiful. It was hard. It's hard to explain.
Well, Gilly, you're a great friend maker, and people are drawn to you. And so I remember, you know, Johnny Coons and Ward Coe and all these wonderful, wonderful counselors. And all of a sudden you had new friends.
Yeah. When I got there, I realized I was in a family, and I realized that with people that care, Christian athletes, you know, that just like I was, they played on the gridiron. Some played at OU, some played at Vanderbilt. Some have played different places, right, from all different walks of life. I was part of them, and they welcomed me, and they encouraged me, and they loved me, and they embraced me. You know, we became brothers, and even we're brothers today. Some years ago, I received a picture where we took a photograph picture with all the counselors with our church off, and they were just one little spot there. And they said, well, did you feel out of place? I said, no, I didn't. We didn't think you was. I said, no, I did not feel out of place, not one order. I felt at home. I just thank, you know, God for the experience. I just thank God for the opportunity to go. And I just think that sometimes that when I did not let my fears and my doubt overrule me, and sometimes you got to really be able to rule, you know, by your doubt and your fear through by faith. And I trusted God. And I came to Camp Kennicott, and it was a lifetime experience.
And so, Gilla, being a happy new year that we're in 2025, you talk about overcoming fear by faith. You're a football coach to this day. You're also a pastor of a wonderful church. You do both of them at the same time. I don't know how you do it. As we are hopefully in this podcast overcome by faith, as we're hopefully overcome by a brand new faith, what's it like stepping into a new year with a renewal of faith that would cast out fear in a man's life?
Well, Joe, I mean, as we step into this new year, we look forward to this new year, and always look forward to the new year. As a matter of fact, in our church, we have a what you call a watch meeting, and which is it's an old traditional meeting in a predominantly Black church, or probably in the churches that would you just close out the old year and welcome the new year. What we sing praises, we thank God for the things they have done in the year of 2024, and we look forward to 2025. And it's only by faith. You know, faith is something that you cannot see, but yet still you trust for and hope for. And so it without faith, the scripture says in Hebrews 11 and 6, it's impossible to please God without faith. And those who didn't just seek God, you know, in order to really, for the future, I mean, that's what faith is all about. I don't know what 2025, all the woes and the doubts and the circumstances, but I do know who holds the future. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I put my hands in, and I encourage my people to put their hands in God's hand and hold to God and change the hand, and he will see us through.
I really appreciate that. Beth Ann, you're a part of a really fun conversation.
Joe, I'm just sitting here saying, I wish all of our listeners could see his face as he is speaking, because he just lights up with joy in this huge smile. And Joe is telling me, Calvin, before we got on, he said, you will never hear a negative word come out of this man's mouth. And I thought, wow. I want to be coached by Calvin. I don't play football, Calvin. You wouldn't want to coach me. Wow, what a joy you are, and just an encouragement to all of us already.
And so, Beth, then getting into 2025, talk to me. You're a busy girl. You're directing a camp, and you're also a coach and a shepherd at our Kennicott Institute. You know, what's it like for you jumping in by faith to a brand new year?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Wow. A new year. And, you know, I love, Calvin, that you already said, I don't know what this year holds, but I know who holds the future. And that's a conversation that I'm having with my staff and the students all the time, because there's so many unknowns in life, and we can kind of get stuck in those unknowns. And like you mentioned earlier, when we foresee all these unknowns, then we start to maybe operate out of that fear, and we don't step out in faith. And so a fun conversation that we have a lot is, you know what? There are a lot of unknowns, but we serve a very knowable God, and there are some things that we can know. And what are those things? And then we just walk through those. Okay, I know that God is sovereign. I know that God is good. I know that I can trust his promise. You know, we just walk through, what can I know? And when I know the character of God, I can actually be excited for the unknowns and just, I can say, you know what? 2025 is going to be an adventure. And I'm on an adventure with God. And so, you know, right now I'm reminding myself and our staff and our students of, you know, there are a lot of unknowns about this year, but we serve a very knowable God, and let's know him so that we can, you know, walk out of faith and not fear.
What a great word. Giller, what are you thinking?
I say amen to that. Because as we cross over to 2025, you know, 24, we have challenges, and those challenges will follow us into 2024. But the thing about it is, you know, many trying to say, how I'm going to make it, how I'm going to do this, how this is going to work out. They're facing in so many different situations, so many different things in life. You know, we're coming into a year of 25, a new president of the United States of America, new transition. But yet still, they want to say, what it's going to be, how it's going to be, how are we going to adjust to it? But no matter what, we don't know what we are going through, but we know who can take us through, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And these are the things that, as a pastor, as a coach, Joe, there's something in football, you get knocked down, but you get to get up. There's sometimes the defensive back, you know, maybe get the pass thrown over the head, but they get to come back and play. You might miss a tackle, but you got to ray up, you got to stand up, because there's another play to play. And you have to really play each play every day. Every day, you have to pray and ask God to give you strength to make it that day. It's very important that we continue to keep our eyes on him, keep our hand in his hand. Through by doing that, without a shadow of a doubt, I believe in all the years of my life, the Lord have never failed me yet. He had brought me through, and he would bring us through.
And so, Giller, when you grew up, you lived by faith. You didn't have a lot growing up, did you?
No, I didn't. Joe, I'm from the good state of Mississippi. And then I was born in 1953, and from 53 to 63, probably the most roughest time, you know, in Mississippi. There's a lot of things that's going on, civil rights movement going on, a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of changes that have taken place from 53 to 63. Freedom March, freedom rights, freedom fighters, the whole bit. But yet still, you know, God embraced us and hold us with a powerful hand. And their changes were made for the better. And we thank God, you know, that so much segregation, those barriers and those bridges, you know, were broken down. And it's all broken down through by love and through by realizing that we all are human beings and we all have something in common. And that's the love. And we all, you know, have feelings. We all, our blood is red. We have more in common than we had dislike. And so I was brought up into a home to trust in God, to love people, and to respect and to encourage us, you know, to always believe and trust in God. And when someone do something kind to them, say thank you and be manable and be all you can be for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, no matter what your situation. And so I just thank God, you know, for my upbringing, because those were some tough times in my life, but yet still, I was able to really go and do things and experience things, you know, that my grandparents that raised me never had a chance to do.
And so, Giller, at 275 pounds or maybe 285, I'm not sure, you came to Kennecuck as a defensive tackle, and all of a sudden you got 10 kids. It seems like your kids in your cabin were, I don't know, maybe 12-year-olds. I'm not sure, as I recall. But what was it like for you to be a counselor that summer when you were the leader as the biggest guy in camp with the biggest heart?
It was a mentorship, encouragement, and most of all, we're done with love. We had the foundation of camp, and what camp is all about. It speaks very volume, you know, that we loved those kids. We encouraged those kids. And we met them right where they was. They from all different backgrounds, from all different walks of life, had so many different hurts and so many different complexes. But yet still, that love overruled all those things. And just being there for them and being their friends and encouraging them. And there are some times, you know, that you have to really give them time out, or sometimes you had to really walk away. But yet still, you came back with a refresh of a love spirit. And I found out more than anything that love overruled all those complexes and gave a new, refreshing anointing in the work with those young peoples.
Yeah, and Gilly, if there was ever a man that could love kids, buddy, it was you. Your kids in your cabin, they adored you. You were the father that some of those kids, you know, had never really had before, who really understood how to give love away like that.
Well, Joe, I mean, you never know what impact you have on kids until when it came down to that final day, their parents were there to pick them up, and they had their events, right before their parents picked them up, and then they were saying goodbye. To look at those kids with the tears in their eyes and say, I love you, and I appreciate you, and you didn't really know that they did. You know, you didn't really, all you know that you gave them love, but yet still, they gave you love back by saying, hey, write me, stay in touch with me. And you really helped me out a whole lot. And so when you see kids go from A to Z, you know, and most of all, with all the complexes they had, but yet still, they realize, you know, that someone that cared for them. And I think that's the most important thing. It's not so much what you know, how you know, or what you do. It's the most important thing is you must continue to impress love. Even coaching football, I mean, you have to have, there's tough love, but also there's love that you get to put your arms around the youngsters and say, hey, man, we can do it. You can do it. You're better than that. And then see them go from one point to another point. I've been coaching defensive line all my life, you know, for almost 40 some years. And it's been the most joyful experience I've had. And I've coached kids from all different backgrounds, from all different walks of life. But yet still, you know, you find that pressure point, that love point, or you define that the love factor that in their life and what their needs, and you minister to that need, and you, and most of all, they want to know that you cared and that you loved them.
As you get into this brand new year with your team that you're going to be coaching, you can actually teach football players that love wins games, that love builds relationships, that love makes better football players. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Joe, you pull your heart out to them. You know, they come from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds, but yet still one thing they have in common, they want to know that someone cares. We find a way, you know, to really find that love button and let them know, you know, through by a rugged game of football that they are loved. And that they can perform, and they can be the very best they can, and it's done by hard work. That's one thing that I've learned at Kennecott, and of course, learned in my life. The work ethic, you know, is very important. And when you surrender all, and give your very best, and you coach your very best, you give your very best. And we're about work. It shows that in a game time situation that I just really encourage them. I'm probably one of the best motivators, and I watched over. I'm excited to watch my youngsters play the game because they've been coached through the week, and they're excited about playing, and they play with great enthusiasm and with great inspiration. You know, when they have, and especially for those who really really have a strong love for the game.
Bethann, this is going to be a happy new year. If 2025 goes like this, this is going to be one of the greatest years of our life.
I'm with you on that, Joe. And man, I'm just, as you were talking about, Calvin, just, you know, the day that parents come, those are still some of my favorite days currently at camp is when we see those reunions. And when I see campers just clinging to the staff with tears down their face, I'm like, I want every camper to leave with those kind of tears because that means that we've done our job. So, well, this has been a great way to kick off our new season of podcasting, and our hope for you is that, again, you may not know what you're facing this year, but you know the one that holds this year, that loves you and knows you and will walk with you. So with that, I'd love to pray for you. God, thank you so much just for our time today with Calvin. Thank you just for the encouragement, God. Thank you for his joy in the way that he just exudes the love of Christ. And God, I thank you for this new year. God, may we all have just a renewed spirit, God, to love you and know you and to help others to love and know you as well. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you hadn't had the chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit kennecottpodcast.com And for more information about Kanakuk, you can visit kanakuk.com.